Good afternoon. It's good to be here. Always good to be back. I have a lot of good memories from here. The oldest one being sitting in a folding chair right over under that arch over there on the first night that we had a service here on a Wednesday night, and Vic Gibson, I believe, got up and led songs. I can remember that night. There's probably a lot of them since then I don't remember, but I do still have that in my mind. The topic for my lesson today is Christian joy. And we're going to go through a look at a couple aspects of that and see how it should play a part in our life. But I wanted to describe to you first an experiment that was done. It's called the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment. And I like marshmallows, not as good as ice cream, but I like marshmallows, so it caught my attention. But it was done back in the 60s and with children about average age of about 4 years old. How many people, by show of hands, you heard of the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment? Okay, well, good. This will be new information. So the children went into a room with a narrator there, and they would talk, and he would get to know them a little bit, and they'd play with some toys and develop a rapport. Then he would find out whether they liked marshmallows or chocolate-covered pretzels better, and then would give them the one. They said, okay, here's one. I've got to leave the room for a little while. When I come back, if you haven't eaten that one, I'll give you three marshmallows instead of the one. So they would do that, and they'd leave the room, and the children have pictures of them. They would be looking at the marshmallow, trying to decide. Some of them would eat the marshmallow, and then some of them would wait till they got back, and then they got more marshmallows. They followed these children for 20 years. Hopefully not too closely, but so they found out how they performed, and all through school and in their early careers, the ones that waited and got the three marshmallows later performed much better than the ones that took the marshmallow immediately. A delayed gratification experiment that they got a lot of visibility at the time, and you can Google it. It's on Wikipedia. It's quite a well-known study. So we're going to look a little bit about how that delayed gratification concepts into turns for a Christian, for our experience of the Christian joy. But first, our view of the world, I'm going to look at a concept of contentment first, just to give us an idea that our contentment with the world, we have to deal with that first before we can really experience Christian joy. And the Bible warns us a lot about this, but to give you an idea of the world that we live in, as far as how many marshmallows people are eating right up front, and that's the world we live in, is the average household credit card debt, $16,000, mortgage, $182,000, auto loan, $29,000, and a new thing in our society, when I wasn't little, student loan debt, average is $49,000, for a total of $276,000 when the average income is $59,000. So there's a lot of people eating their marshmallows up front. And that's the world that we live in today. Immediate gratification. I want to experience everything right now, and I'm not going to really worry about what comes down the road. But we've pulled a lot about this in Scripture. In Hebrews 13:5, is let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. This is an interesting verse in that it deals with both physical covetousness along with the concept of him being with us, doesn't it? So don't be covetous because I am with you. In other words, that shouldn't be an issue for you if you're concentrating on me. So a very good clue there. It's a physical and spiritual in the same verse. And then, of course, Philippians 4:11, Paul tells us about his own personal being content. And it says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. There's some times in Paul's life when he had what he needed, and sometimes he had great need. But he learned to be content in whatever situation he was in. And we obviously know what a great example he became as an apostle, and being in prison and singing and always looking on that side, a good example of joy. And then in one more scripture along this line is 1 Timothy 6, verses 7 through 11. It says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall in temptation and snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, love, faith, patience, and gentleness." So if we try to find joy the way the world seems to be finding joy, it's not going to be there. So the first thing we do is have to understand that the world does not offer us the joy that we're looking for, and that can only come from God. So looking a little bit now about Christian joy, and what, and in particular the New Testament scriptures that deal with that, we're going to find a couple of words that are used quite a bit. One of them, and I'm not a Greek expert, but there, the two basic words are chiro, which means calmly happy or well off, and one aglio, which is to jump for joy. So, interestingly, to jump for joy was never used by Paul in his writings, but it was one that was used by some of the other writers, in particular Peter, which kind of makes sense because he was kind of one that kind of was up and down, as you might say, in his personality kind of thing. So, so Matthew 5, and the 11 and 12, right out of the Sermon on the Mount, we have, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad." Jump for joy. "For great is your reward in heaven, for they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So now it's saying, well, if we do something and we get persecuted for it, for being a Christian, that we're to jump for joy. Now, because we're doing something that's pleasing the Father. And we look at little children, especially babies, and then in that very early stage of development, one of their goals in life is to please their parents. We can learn a lot about that, and God uses the parent-child. I mean, we act really goofy, don't we? We make silly faces. We do all kinds of things. And we want them to like us, and it makes them happy because we're happy. They're pleasing us, and we're happy. We should be that way with our Father, shouldn't we? With God, we want to please Him, and that's our desire. And if we can do that, we should feel that joy. And again, in Acts the 5th chapter, 41st verse, was a similar instance. "So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching as Jesus as the Christ." So they just got slammed down pretty good, but yet they're rejoicing. Now in the Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in 32 to 36 verse, we have that they endure because we know better things are in heaven. Here's the delayed gratification. One of the reasons that we can have peace and we can have joy as a Christian, one of the reasons is because we know we have a promise and that things will get better. But recall, in the 30s, starting in 10:32, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions with those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully," and that's a little different use of the term, but it's metachara, and so metajoy, "accepted the plundering of your goods." So you joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward, For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So one of the reasons that we have joy as a Christian is because we know that things will get better and we have a reward for whatever happens to us. But that doesn't mean our life here is going to be, we have to think of it as worse or non-joyous. That can be a very temporary situation. And we have strength that we can draw on that gets us through times that are trying. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 6 through 9, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with unspeakable joy and full of glory. Thus the song that we sing, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, at the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So, we rejoice in our sufferings, and we can rejoice when we pull through things that are difficult in our lives, knowing what's ahead of us. Also in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, and starting in verse 12, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy and jump for joy. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. So there's a joy that comes to us knowing that we're pleasing our Father. And there's a peace that we have because we are a Christian and we know that what we're experiencing is not it. So if there's something you think you've missed, you haven't gotten there yet. So that makes the life that we live day to day easier to handle, easier to endure, and can give us joy. So we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We have to put away and resist the temptations of not being satisfied. We have to be content with what we have, and then we have to understand the joy that God gives us, but not of the world, but in the world. We can't just sit here and meet and never leave and say, okay, it's just too bad out there, we're going to do that. John 15 and 19 states, If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world hates you. But in John 17:14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So we can't leave the world. We can't ignore the world because our job is to be a light in the world. But we cannot become of the world. So we can't avoid temptations and trials and all the things that we should be experiencing that helps us grow as Christians and that we should be going through. Now, we live in a pretty good time as far as the persecution is concerned of us, but we don't live in a good time as far as how much the world views God and the values that we hold as Christians. So whether we work or come in contact with people outside, we always have to be on our toes. So there is a second follow-on to this study, the marshmallow study. And what they did in the follow-on was they took a moderator and they brought him into the room and he told the child several things that he didn't follow through on. They did what he could to make the child not trust him. Instead of the first case, they tried to make the child, you know, understand that he was a friend, he liked to play with the toys, didn't trust him. They did the same experiment again, and most of the children ate the marshmallow. So, what's the difference? The children didn't believe that the reward they were going to get later was really there. So we need to look at ourselves and decide, what is our faith? How is our joy and our faith related? Our joy and our faith are related because we have to have the faith that the reward we're being promised is really going to be there. And isn't the times when we look at our lives and say, you know, maybe I didn't do what I should. Maybe the root cause of that was maybe we really didn't believe or think about the fact that what we've been promised, what our job is here to do, and maybe our faith did waver some during that. So we need to be out there and we need to show the world that what Christian joy is, and that's by faith and by giving and by serving, that we get peace and joy. And we can't do that with only each other, but we have to do that out there so that people can ask, wow, why is he different? Why are they doing that? What's his motivation for doing that? And then be ready to answer the questions that come up. So, I didn't realize this lesson quite had so much eating in it. But the next thing I would like to bring up is the expression that says, you can have your cake and eat it too. Ever heard that? Yeah, I always thought that was kind of a strange expression. You can have your cake and eat it too. And always made more sense to me is that if you eat your cake, you won't have it. You know, you can't, as I believe what it's saying. But when we talk about Christian joy, I think that we're looking at a situation where it's not all delayed gratification. I mean, if you just had a choice of how to live your life, would you do it any different? I mean, what, promise or no promise, isn't this wonderful? To have the peace and joy and love? And I guess you can't really ask that question without sounding a little cynical, but it's the best of both worlds. Is what I'm getting at, is that the Christian joy gives you peace and gives you joy and gives you purpose in the life right here. It makes it so much better to be a Christian. Even when you're persecuted or somebody strikes you down or makes fun of you or tries to humiliate you in some way, but you know that what awaits them and all you do is feel bad for them because of their state, that peace and that joy right here on this earth is a reward. Just like Paul in the jail and whatever matter his circumstances, what? Singing praises to God. That's the way that we need to be. We need to have the joy here, and the joy unspeakable will come for us as a reward someday. So it's almost like instead of having your cake and eat it too, that Christian joy is like if you eat it, then you get more. Right here, right now, you get all the cake you want. So it's a rewarding, fulfilling way to live your life. If you don't feel the joy, and things will come when rough times will come, but you have your brothers and sisters to help you through. Some of the things that I've seen happen to people in the church over the years, you're going, well, how could you get through that? And they show us through their examples how they do it and how they recover and how they still have such a wonderful outlook on life. And I'm going, wow, it's been encouraging to me to see how my brothers and sisters in the church have handled things throughout their lives. That's the kind of joy that we need to look for. If something bad happens, know that we have more than just this life has to offer. So think about joy, think about our faith. Make sure that it's strong, and we know that delayed gratification, that delayed reward will for sure be ours. And if for some reason we have an invitation at this time, if you don't feel that way, if you don't confident in that, or you need to make something public, or you need to make a public commitment, anything like that, the eldership here would be glad to help you with that while we stand and sing the invitation.